Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgebeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello. Did you know that men who only sleep 5 hours a night have markedly smaller testicles than men who sleep more than seven? Yeah, that is a bit of an alarming way to introduce a show. But according to neuroscientist Matthew Walker, speaking at this year's TED conference about his book, Why We Sleep, that's just one of the many ways that the decimation of sleep throughout industrialized nations is having a catastrophic impact on our health and wellness. And the same applies to stress, which researchers say, of all the toxins in our world, might be one of the most damaging, in addition to rewiring your brain and contributing to anxiety and depression. If left untreated, stress may lead to chronic inflammation, hypertension, heart disease, stroke, diabetes. And right behind those, and indelibly linked with them, is the issue of obesity. So, sleep, stress, and obesity, three silent deadly killers that are now reaching epidemic proportions in our society. So what can we do? Glenn Harold is an author, musician, and experienced clinical hypnotherapist who's helped thousands of clients over a wide range of stress-related problems. His unique and highly effective series of professional hypnosis and meditation recordings have sold over 10 million and are one of the world's best-selling self-help audio ranges. Glenn Harold is the author of seven self-help books, and he's produced hundreds of hypnosis and meditation audios. His Relax and Sleep Well app has become one of the world's biggest grossing self-help apps and has been downloaded over 3 million times. And it's number one in the lifestyle charts in over 50 countries. Glenn Harold joins me now to discuss how and why hypnotherapy is proving so successful in addressing all three silent killers when so many other methods are failing. He's also going to offer us some tips to help us de-stress our lives, sleep well every night, and lose weight now. Glenn Harold, welcome.
Hello, Sandy. How are you?
Glenn, in his TED talk, neuroscientist Matthew Walker said that lack of sleep makes us dumber, more forgetful, unable to learn new things, more vulnerable to dementia, and more likely to get cancer, have heart attacks, unable to fend off sickness, and literally makes our body hurt more. In your Sleep Well Every Night, A New Approach to Getting a Good Night's Sleep book, you accurately sum up sleep deprivation as a form of torture. Now, we live in an increasingly stressful world, and aside from all the usual culprits like money, family, work worries, etc., you say that there are other hidden causes of poor sleep. So tell us what they are.
So some of the main causes of poor sleep can be the biggest problem we've got in this day and age is the technological revolution we're in has been an amazing thing, but so many of us sit up late on our devices, on watching television, and they're probably the worst things for getting a good night's sleep. But they're kind of, increasingly I've seen that it's become more and more of an addiction with people, using technology late into the evening, when really the focus should be on a good restful night's sleep, not, checking social media or, doing emails and that kind of thing. So I think it's a really good way of combating that is, focusing on having a cutoff point. So maybe 2 hours before you're going to go to sleep, just cut off all technology. So, no mobile phones, no iPads, no devices, no, you know, even TV, because that still stimulates the brain. So that's the real answer, you know, to prioritize sleep, to give it some serious focus and attention, and to have that cutoff point.
Well, we should. I mean, you know, people go to the gym, they take their vitamins, they watch their diet, they do everything to try and stay healthy, and they forget about sleep. And yet that, as all the research that's emerging now is showing us, is probably the single most important thing of all.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's linked to those other topics that you talked about, weight loss and stress. So it is so important, and it's often we just simply don't prioritize it enough, and I think that's the key. So, you know, really, like you said, if you wanted to, you know, build a good physique, you know, which is a real popular thing nowadays with, you know, both men and women, you know, building a regime throughout the week where you're working out a couple of times a week or walking or exercising, you know, to achieve that healthy physique, you really focus your attention on that and you have a schedule. And really the same should be done with sleep. So it should be something that's at the forefront of your mind, you know, really every day, that focus on winding down at night. And, you know, it should be a priority.
Do you think that, you know, we make these resolutions, yeah, I'm going to start taking my vitamins, yeah, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to go for a walk, whatever. These are all actions. Saying I'm going to have a cutoff point, I'm going to do nothing and relax, that's, you know, we think that somehow the brain thinks of that as inaction. And in our fast-paced society, we're so used to being on the go, we're so used to, you know, always turning our attention to something, that to actually allow nothing is really hard for us.
It's hard, but it's one of the most beneficial things you can do. And there's that famous quote, I think Buddhist quote, that says, you know, if you're too busy to meditate for an hour, you're too busy to meditate for 20 minutes, you should meditate for an hour. And it really is that. You know, it's really important. It's so important. And, you know, if you've got a very, very busy day, lots going on, lots of stress, one of the best things you can do in the middle of the day is allow, even if it was 20 minutes of self-hypnosis or meditation, in the middle of the day, you would come out the other side of that. If you had a 20-minute state where you just shut down all conscious thought, the monkey mind, you switched it off, you got into your breath, you started breathing very slowly and deeply and sank down into that very peaceful, centered space, you would come out the other side feeling refreshed, you'd be more creative, and you'd actually get more done in the rest of the day because you've done that. So it's such a crucial thing to do, and I do use that when I've got a particularly busy day or something big or a meeting that's particularly stressful or whatever it is. I always make the time beforehand just to go into that space, you know, to get very centered, very still. And you can either just completely switch off, or when you're in that relaxed state, you can visualize the meeting you've got, or you can visualize the, you know, the rest of the day and visualize it going really positively and enjoying it, that kind of thing. And it is so empowering when you do that, because you're accessing a greater part of your mind, the unconscious part of your mind, which you don't naturally access when you're just in a normal waking state. So that's why it's so effective and so powerful. And, you know, I've got a guide to self-hypnosis that I'll send to you that anyone can download and learn the sort of basic technique for doing that.
I hope that later in the show you may be able to give us a little run through, because there's several aspects of that that I'd like to address that I think our listeners will find really useful and interesting. But for now, I want to focus a little bit on your books and some of the information in your books, because they're packed with really good information. I mean, when you produce something like, you know, Sleep Well or Lose Weight Now, you're not just producing an audio, hypnosis audio that people can listen to. You go into all the background and you provide a lot of other supportive resources as well. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is, I know that you've been doing this a long, long time. I think the first one of your hypnosis recordings I came across must have been somewhere around about 18, 20 years ago, and it was on cassette tape. And in that time, technology has just exploded. I mean, everything, it completely controls our life. Just yesterday, I was saying to someone, I remember 20 years ago having a phone, a mobile phone, and all I ever used it for was phone calls. And now suddenly people are walking down the street and the phone is always in their hand because they're checking every aspect of their lives. Have you noticed more and more people downloading your sleep app as the years have gone by?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The sleep app is my number one recording. And I've got a number of variations of it now. I've got a binaural beats sleep recording, a mindfulness meditation sleep recording. The feedback is always really good on that particular title, because what the recordings do is I use, you know, before I even started making recordings, I'd literally seen thousands of clients in a one-to-one setting. So by the time I made the first recordings, I sort of emulated a natural therapy session. So I made the recordings with five stages. So there's an introduction part, kind of explaining a little bit about the recording and how it works. Then an induction, guiding the listener into a gentle state of relaxation. And then a deepening part, which takes the listener into a deeper state of hypnosis. And then affirmations, post-hypnotic suggestions. I use subliminal suggestions at the end as well. And I also use, because I was a musician and still am a musician, I've always used sound frequencies to kind of enhance each part of the recordings. And so with the sleep one, that was quite an easy procedure. So I used the deepening part to get the listener into a very, relaxed state physically and mentally, and then to guide them down into a very peaceful, dreamy state, and then lots of suggestions and anchors and cues for when their head hits the pillow, they're going to feel very sleepy. You know, that's a post-hypnotic suggestion, that they'll feel sleepy every time that happens. And, yeah, I use certain music and certain sounds to accentuate that. And I find, you know, with this, you know, really hypnosis and sleep are very similar states. You know, if you measured brain waves when you go to sleep, and if you measure brain waves when you go into a state of hypnosis, they're the same. You know, you go from sort of 14 to 17 cycles a second, which is the waking consciousness state, all the way down to 1 to 4 cycles, which is the delta state, the deepest kind of sleep. And it's something that I can induce that with on a recording and lull people. And, you know, I always make the recording sound pleasant. So when people have the headphones on and they're listening to it, you know, I have affirmations that pan from the left hemisphere to the right, and it sounds very warm, and it's an enjoyable process. I think if you... You know, we gravitate towards pleasure, don't we, as human beings?
Of course.
If listening to a recording is a pleasurable experience, you're more likely to use it often. And so with the recordings, I really worked hard on making them, you know, an enjoyable process and something that was also effective, very effective. So, yes, hypnosis is very powerful in that way.
Tell me, you just talked about hypnosis being, you know, similar states, similar brainwave patterns to sleep. Many people feel that they've gone to sleep, you know, that they've completely zoned out during a hypnosis session. What is the difference? I mean, are you saying that if we just played affirmations all night when we're asleep, it would have the same effect? Is it, in effect, the same thing, except one we're listening and one we're not?
Well, it's when you go into, you know, when you sleep at night, you actually go through a number of sleep cycles And the delta state I talked about, which is the deepest sleep state, is 1.5 cycles per second. So your brain waves have slowed right down to that speed. But you don't suddenly go down into that state and stay there all night. You actually go down into that state in a normal night's sleep. You would go down to that state possibly within the first hour, but then your brainwave activity would speed up at some point, and you'd come up a little bit, and you'd go into a light sleep state, which might be 7 or 8 cycles per second, and that is around the sort of REM dream state. So you don't necessarily dream in that deeper state. It's the lighter sleep that you dream in. So you go through this whole process, and if you imagine a roller coaster going up and down, say 5 or 6 times, that's pretty much how your sleep cycle pans out throughout the night. So you go into that deep state, then you come up again, and then you go back down into it. And, you know, that's a normal, healthy sleep pattern. But it may be that, you know, through in the middle of the night, you know, there's some noise outside and it wakes you up and it jolts you up into a light sleep state, you know, so where you're a bit drowsy and you're not fully awake and you're fully asleep. So, you know, that can, anything could pull you out of that deeper sleep state. But in to get that normal, deep, nourishing night's sleep, you need to go through that cycle process.
Right. So in the hypnotherapy session, we're not actually going that deep into
no,
that.
So
what
you,
we're
as
doing
you're,
is we're yes. staying in a place.
Yeah, so when I, you know, when I work with a client one-to-one, I would normally guide them down into a not too deep a state, because sometimes if people go to sleep, they don't necessarily absorb the suggestions. So as I give them suggestions, they need to be in a receptive state, which is normally what they call alpha. Yeah, an alpha sleep state, which is in between being fully awake and fully asleep. So it's something called the hypnagogic state. And so you're still aware of your surroundings. You know what's going on. If a fire alarm went off, you'd be able to wake up and, you know, get out of the building. But you're in a deep enough state to really take on board the suggestions. So on the recordings and on the, you know, when I work with clients one-to-one, that's the state I normally aim for, that very pleasant, relaxed state where you're not fully asleep, but you're not fully awake. So that's the difference between hypnosis and going to sleep fully.
Yeah. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest today is author, musician, and experienced clinical hypnotherapist Glenn Harold, who's helped thousands of clients over a wide range of stress-related problems. We'll be back with more from Glenn Harold on sleep, stress, and weight, and how to combat all three after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America and all your problems are done, they don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Glenn Harold, When I was planning this show, I thought perhaps that we would be talking about losing weight and de-stressing your life and sleeping well every night as three completely separate subjects. The more I read your books and the more research I did, the more I realised how deeply interlinked these three things are, and you know, the fact that they are three of the biggest silent killers. You know, we really need to be focusing on them a lot more than we probably are. So I want to ask you a few more questions about sleep and about what you're offering to people that they may not be getting elsewhere before we move on, because I think it applies to all of these problems. You talk about things like electromagnetic fields and geopathic stress. Not many people think about those as having an effect on sleep and on the kind of stress that our bodies are under all of the time. Could you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I'm not, you know, an expert on those particular fields, but it is something that I do try to make people aware of in my work. That, you know, for example, you know, I've seen clients, I've had a client that's come to see me and, you know, they said they're really difficult sleeping, they've tried everything, but they're not been getting off to sleep. And then you find out that their bedroom's like an entertainment centre. There's a big plasma telly on the wall and, you know, a sound system in there. And, you know, it's really important to make the connection that your, you know, your sleep is affected by external devices and EMF, you know, electromagnetic frequencies. So, yeah, I always encourage people to make, you know, prioritize that. Your bedroom should be a place for sleep. Sleep and, you know, sometimes procreation as well, but, you know, sleep is the priority. So, you know, make sure that, you know, you sleep in absolute darkness. So, you know, my house here in Spain, we've got the blackout blinds, you know, outside. So we're very lucky we can pull those down. And as soon as we do, the room is in total darkness. And you need that. You need that to create the melatonin, don't you, in your brain when you go to sleep.
Yeah.
So again, all these little touches add up to, you know, a really good holistic way of getting a good night's sleep every night.
Yeah, it amazes me how many people tell me that, you know, they keep getting woken up by pinging on their phone or something, and it never occurs to them to leave their phone in another room.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's really important to definitely turn your phone off at night. If you do have it by your bedside, just turn it off at night. You know, and there just shouldn't be any electromagnetic devices in your room. You know, it should be a place for sleep and conducive to that as well. The colours should be the best colours for sleep are, you know, sort of purples and, you know, very neutral colours.
Soothing.
Nothing bright.
Yeah.
Soothing colours, yeah. Natural colours. Green, you know, light green's quite good. So again, that's all little, you know, important touches that are so good for helping you get to sleep. And it is, again, it's putting that focus on it, because if you're not sleeping well, you know, you're traipsing through the next day feeling groggy, feeling lethargic, struggling, you know, you get that cloudy head syndrome. Yeah, it's so debilitating. And, you know, I have been there in the past, because when I was younger, I was a musician, so I always, you know, stayed up way too late and got up late. So it's taken me quite a long time to get a good sleep cycle again. And it is one thing, you know, I do have to continue to prioritize that and give it my focus. But I've got two young kids now, so that kind of helps. You know, they don't let me lay in the morning and
no.
I have to read them bedtime stories at night, so that helps me get off to sleep as well.
Do you think that we can train ourselves out of the habit of sleeping? I know people who, you know, in their youth used to stay up till all hours, and then they've had chronic sleep problems ever since.
Yeah, I think you definitely can. I mean, I've worked with a number of clients who've had those kind of problems, and we have come out the other side and got them into, you know, very good sleep patterns. So, it's completely possible to, you know, retrain your brain and, you know, get into that habit of going to sleep at a good time, going to bed at a good time, and then winding down. And, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of assistance, and it may be a, you know, a hypnosis recording. It may be, you know, essential oils. They can be very good. Lavender and, you know, things like that can help you to wind down. Chamomile tea, that's always a good one to help you sleep. So there's lots of things you can do. And, you know,
It becomes a kind of self-perpetuating thing, doesn't it? I mean, once you create that anchor, you know, you listen to some soothing music, maybe you have a little routine, then, you know, the more you do it, the more embedded that becomes, and then you only need to just start that routine for you to, your body to respond.
Absolutely, you know, and, yeah, I mean, I've been reading actually a lot, you know, a number of reviews actually on various recordings I've made, and I'm seeing so many people, even if they're using other recordings that are not necessarily sleep recordings, they're saying, you know, I've seen a lot of reviews on, I've got a weight recording, it says it's helping them to sleep, you know, and it's that whole process of the wind down process that sometimes people are struggling with because they're out of that habit of switching off. So they're, you know, having something else to help you to do that and help you to just quieten your mind is so productive. And yeah, I mean, I've got free recordings out there people can download and listen to, and they're probably the most effective things to help you get to sleep. And if you connect with the actual process of hypnosis and my voice, then it can be invaluable. You know, it's something that you can use every night. Just lay there, listen to it for 25 minutes, and bang, you're going into a deep sleep.
Why does one have to, or why is it always advised that you use headphones rather than just, you know, have it on across the room and just listening to it? What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, you can listen to it across the room, but the way I've produced the recordings, they sound much more effective with headphones on, because I do use panning, which means I use affirmations that go from the left hemisphere to the right and back again. And, you know, when you've got headphones on, you get the full effect of that. So it's not absolutely essential you do that, but it kind of helps with the process. And also, yeah, it's just a nice experience if you've got the headphones on. It just feels a bit cozier and a bit more, you know, the effect has a warmth. There's a certain warmth to that using headphones.
You use visualization a lot as well, don't you? I mean, I was very intrigued with one particular story in one of your books about a guy who played golf, and he was sent to prison for 7 years or something happened. Tell us about that one. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's a great story. Of he was out in Vietnam, and he was incarcerated for 7 years, and in a very austere prison, you know, he had no, you know, very little light each day, and but he knew certain mental techniques. He'd learnt these techniques before he went overseas and had spent his time in prison, and he was a fan of golf. He used to play a lot of golf, so he visualised, to keep himself sane each day, he would visualise playing a round of golf. And it would start from here, you know, walking up to the first tee, standing there, you know, visualizing the hole and, you know, driving off, hitting the drive, and then walking along the first tee, you know, through to putting in, and then going through the whole round in his mind. Because, you know, he had a lot of time on his hands and he didn't have access to any material or written material. So he'd visualized this whole round from start to finish for 4 hours. And the story is that in that time he spent in prison, and he was eventually released 7 years later. When he actually played golf again for the first time, his handicap had come down from 18 to, I think it was 4 or 5, which is, as any golfer knows, that's a massive improvement. You know, it's like, to do that, you literally have to play golf for the same amount of time for 7 years and practice 3 or 4 times a week. So what it showed was that when you visualize something and when you imagine it, your mind doesn't distinguish between what's real and what's imagined. So as far as his mind was concerned, he was actually on the golf course and he was playing golf. And, you know, the proof was in the pudding that he'd improved you know, tenfold since when he came back. And he was this amazing golfer, and he hadn't set foot on a golf course in 7 years.
I remember reading a report some years back. It was in a sports magazine, and it was about athletes who had been injured, and they couldn't actually exercise. So they were told to sit there and go through the exercise just as if they were doing it, take just as much time in as much detail. And when they measured, they said there was a significant change in muscle, etc. So that they proved that actually worked, not as well, but better than not doing anything at all.
Yeah. So that's been scientifically, documented a number of times that, you know, if you visualize going to the gym and you visualize working out on those machines, your muscle density actually improves. You know, your muscle tone improves. And, you know, like you say, it's not quite as much as if you actually go there, but so that's the power of the mind. That's the potential we've got when we use visualization techniques and we go into that, you know, the unconscious part of ourselves. And, you know, we are the only species, that it said, on the planet that doesn't use all of our brain all of the time. So we've got this tremendous superhuman ability in our unconscious mind. And, you know, the conduit for getting there is through meditation and self-hypnosis. It's really that simple. So if you allow that time just to switch off and go into that very deep, relaxed state, then and you visualize going to the gym, or you visualize, you know, shining at an interview, or, you know, performing in some way and, you know, being at your best, or, you know, and if people have got a fear of flying, you imagine getting on the plane and feeling really calm and in control. You know, all of those things work when you go into that state. You really do, you know, achieve those the end result, which is to feel much more in control when you're in those situations for real.
Some people say that they are not at all suggestible, that, you know, they cannot be hypnotized. Have you ever met anybody who couldn't be hypnotized?
It's, you know, the only people that can't really be hypnotized are those that, you know, actively resist it. So, you know, I've literally seen thousands of clients in a one-to-one setting. And, you know, the majority of people that come to see me are there because they believe in the concepts. You know, they want to overcome the fear, they want to lose weight. So they're kind of, you know, up for it and they're ready for it, and they do respond very well. But on some occasions you get people who are, you know, don't think that's possible. You know, they don't think it's possible for them to go into a state of relaxation, or they resist it in some way. And I had a very good... I remember years ago I had a lady that came to see me because she had a chronic fear of flying. And she was flying out to her honeymoon in a few weeks' time. They were going, her and her husband were flying out to Thailand. And she was terrified of this flight. And so I did a couple of sessions on her, and I could tell she responded well. And I thought, she's going to be fine. When she gets on that plane, she'll be absolutely fine. But I realized that her husband was even more chronically fearful than she was. So I thought, he's possibly going to regress her. So she said, look, I'll see if he'll come along and see you. And he did, but he was very reluctant. And he sat in front of me in the first session, and he had his arms crossed. And he was this big sort of tough builder. And he sat there and he was like, come on then, mate, hypnotize me. And he was very resistant. But within about 20 minutes, he had gone into a very deep trance state, because he was actually a somnambulist, which are the 20% of the population who naturally go into very deep trance states very quickly and easily. So he'd gone into this deep trance state, and I gave him all the suggestions that he'd feel absolutely fine when he got on a plane, feel very confident, lots of anchors, lots of cues. And to cut a long story short, they flew off on their honeymoon, no problem at all. She sent me a postcard. She said it was an amazing flight. She said he was absolutely laughing and joking on the flight, which he'd never done before. And then 6 months later, I bumped into her in the local high street. And I said, oh, how are you getting on? And she said, well, quite amazing, really. She said he's now started taking up parachuting and bungee jumping. So, and this was a guy, I'm not kidding you, she said he used to have panic attacks even looking at planes. He couldn't even look at it. And so in one hypnotherapy session, he went from, you know, being chronically fearful to the complete opposite. So, you know, that's always a funny story that kind of demonstrated the power of the mind. You know, and we've all got that potential in us to overcome phobias, to achieve the physical fitness that you want, to become healthier, to sleep better, you know, to become abundant and successful as well. That's what you want to focus on. We really do have so much potential inside us, and that's really, you know, been the crux of my work over the last 25 years, bringing that potential out in people.
Do you, I know you have young children, do you use what you've learned about the mind, affirmations and, you know, visualization, do you use it with young children to help them cope with life and learn about the power within them?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, my kids are 4 and 2 at the moment, so they're a little bit, you know, beyond that point. But my older son, when he was young, I learnt hypnosis when he was quite young, and I used to use it with him for examinations at school and anything he had difficulty with, any struggle, I would help him with it. You know, and he was, when he was very young, younger kids don't necessarily have the attention span, so what you have to do with them is create lovely little stories and infuse them with metaphors and that kind of thing. But as kids get older, you can, you know, use more traditional hypnosis techniques. And I remember with Lee, when he had a judo exam, he had this judo exam, and he had to memorize these Japanese words to get through the judo exam. So I would create little storylines around these words and get him to visualize feeling really, as soon as he stood on the mat, he'd feel really strong, really confident. And every time he had an examination, these words would come back to him instantly, and he just couldn't remember them before because they were so unusual and so foreign to his mind, he couldn't remember them. So he'd remember them easily, and whenever he stood on that mat, he said he always felt really this charge of strength and confidence, and he would always fly off the mat and perform really well. And the interesting thing is, even now, sort of 20-odd years later, he can still remember those Japanese words. They're still anchored in his unconscious mind, and he can recall them. And that's the power of hypnosis again, that, you know, you once those suggestions are in the unconscious mind, they stay there forever.
Yeah. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author, musician, and experienced clinical hypnotherapist Glenn Harold about the power of hypnotherapy to help us combat three of the biggest killers that we know today: sleep problems, stress, and obesity. We'll be back with more from Glenn Harold on the power of hypnotherapy after the break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Glenn Harold, would you be willing to take us through the process of teaching us a little bit about self-hypnosis? What do we have to do if this is something that we, you know, have a quick 10 minutes in between, you know, appointments or something, and we would like to be able to just bolster something, you know, energy, whatever, confidence?
Yeah,
focus, how would we go through that?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a very simple process, really. And, you know, one of the best ways to do it is to just sit somewhere, you know, get yourself very comfortable. And, you know, if you've got 10 minutes on your lunch break or whatever, you know, find a little quiet space. Just sit down and close your eyes and then just allow your mind to become still and quiet. Yeah, so just clear away any external thoughts and start to breathe very slowly and deeply. And I always use a simple breathing technique where you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. So you just start with this slow, deep breathing exercise. And as you do that, just imagine any tension in your body disappearing. So with every out-breath, you just breathe it away. Any stress, any cares or worries, just breathe them away with every out-breath. And just feel yourself begin to relax. So allow your shoulders to drop down. Feel every muscle in your body just begin to relax. And just keep breathing in this slow circular breathing motion. You know, you can even imagine the breath coming in through your nose, down into your lungs and swirling around, and breathing out any stale air. And just relaxing, just be in the moment, be very mindful and very present. And let go of everything. Any cares, worries, things you've got to do later on, just let them go. And make this time for yourself just to drop down into that peaceful, anchored state where you feel very still and very calm. And you just continue to breathe slowly and deeply and feel more and more relaxed. And even if an unwanted thought pops into your head, just let it go. Just watch it drift away. And you can even imagine that thought as a little cloud in the sky, a little white cloud in against the blue sky. And you imagine that cloud drifting through the sky until it fades away, just disappears, until all you're left with is a blue sky again. So you simply just drift down into that very peaceful, relaxed state, clearing your mind, feeling your muscles relax even more, and then just stay there, stay in that still, centered, peaceful state, you know, where you feel very grounded, very centered, very calm, and at peace. And I would say that for the first few times that you practice this, just stay in that state and think of nothing. Just practice the habit of not thinking. So that you're in a very centered, still place where your mind is switched off. And when you do that, your unconscious mind naturally becomes more open and receptive, and you're connecting with that part of yourself, that deeper part. And in that deeper part holds your potential, your creativity, your imagination. And so sometimes just being in that still centered space and not thinking of anything, you're opening up this channel, and you'll find that when you come back up, when you know the 10 minutes are up and you bring yourself back up, you know, you're naturally feeling more energized, you're feeling more creative, you're getting ideas, you're, you know, suddenly things or things that you were putting off, you're suddenly more focused again and charged up. And so that's the beauty of it. Get yourself in that state, you know, where you're not thinking, you're not doing, you're just being. You're just experiencing life at a very grounded, you know, peaceful, beautiful space. You know, you're in that lovely energy, and yeah, that's the key to it. No, that's the key.
Giving yourself the space. Sounds like it's really important, just to give yourself the space.
Yeah, that's really it. You know, can do that in 10 minutes. So rather than sitting there and worrying for 10 minutes about things you've got to do this afternoon, do the opposite. Just switch your mind off.
Mm.
Clear away those thoughts. Imagine that little cloud drifting through the sky and disappearing, and you will come back feeling so much stronger and brighter and clearer. And it's a great habit to do. You know, if you did that every single day, you would feel, you know, pretty amazing in no time. And it said a lot of athletes and a lot of sportsmen have learned to do this. You know, it's there was a story of a tennis player once who kept losing tie breaks. Every time he got to a tie break, something would go and he would lose it. So he used this sort of simple technique. You know, 10 minutes a day, he would just visualize the tie break and feeling really confident, you know, playing it, you know, rising to a peak performance state in the tie breaks. So he'd get himself into this very relaxed state and visualize that and feel it as well. The most important thing to do is when you're in that state and you're using an affirmation or you're visualizing something, engage your feelings, because that's what really supercharges the affirmation or the visualization. Connect with your feelings and really feel the excitement. You know, in his case, feel the excitement of hitting the ball out of the middle of the tennis racket and, you know, just clean through it and, you know, the racket coming up by the side of you. And it's so the feelings, you know, engaging your feelings at that time are the really important key to making your affirmations, you know, supercharged. And he said after he did that a number of times, he turned the corner and he would win the majority of his tie breaks.
We've talked about stress and we've talked about sleep. We haven't talked a great deal about obesity. One of the things that strikes me is I can understand how hypnotherapy can work if people are overeating because of stress reasons, because of emotional reasons, psychological reasons. Would hypnotherapy work for somebody whose weight isn't necessarily caused by those things? Because we're now finding that there are all kinds of factors, you know, inflammation in the body, histamine responses to allergies, things like that. How would one utilize a hypnotherapy recording if it's not purely about eating less?
I think, you know, for the vast majority, it is that thing of, you know, if you eat healthily and you exercise, you lose weight. But yes, certainly there are certain cases where it's a little bit more complex than there are, can be other issues. So I think, you know, in some cases it can have its limitations. You know, if there's a physiological reason that you're not losing weight, then, you know, hypnotherapy can have you know, a limited effect in those cases. But I'm trying to think of a good example where that would happen. I mean, I know I did see a client once who it wasn't a case of she'd had, you know, there can be all kinds of root causes for people that have weight issues. And, you know, just to throw this one in the mix, this, I saw a lady once who'd been abused as a young child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the abuse was so deeply embedded in her unconscious mind, and it was such a traumatic experience that she, in a conscious adult life, she would overeat to make herself unattractive to the opposite sex. That was her way of thinking, anyway. That was her sort of coping mechanism, to say, because she didn't want attention from the opposite sex. So I just remember this case. It's just come up, and it was quite a complicated one. So you know, it wasn't about telling her to eat less and to be healthy and to focus on exercise. It was about going back to the root cause, you know, with her permission, because I always guide and I don't lead. And I guided her back to the root cause of the problem, you know, to the abuse. And we worked extensively on resolving the trauma of the abuse. And there was very little about the actual weight loss itself, because I knew that if we worked on the root cause and we dealt with that, then the weight problem would, you know, take care of itself. And in my experience, that's always happened. You know, if you get to the root cause of the problem and you work on the healing of that and, you know, the resolution of that, then the symptoms disappear. And that's what happened in this lady's case. You know, we worked on healing the trauma, and the weight issue, you know, disappeared.
I read in one of your books about reframing as well, that, it, you know, if we can reframe certain things, that's enormously useful.
Mm. Yeah, certainly. What was the example there, Sandy?
I'm trying to think. I think I came across it, you know, just changing the way that we think about something, you know, can remove the stress around the situation, I think it was.
There's always ways to do that. It's all, you know, it's so easy to slip into fear and worry, isn't it? You know, when you've got a problem, an issue, you know, I'm a human being, it happens to me at times. You know, I've been a hypnotherapist 25 years, and suddenly I can find my mind, you know, worrying. I've got, a building in the UK, and I've been working for a couple of weeks to try and sell it, and all of a sudden it's fallen through. So, you know, I found myself stressing about it earlier, you know, and then because I've been a hypnotherapist for 25 years, I know that I don't stay in that situation for long, because I know it's counterproductive to what I want to achieve. So what I did, I was sitting out on my porch earlier. It's a lovely sunny day here in Spain, and I just closed my eyes for a little while, and I started to breathe, and I started to get into that still space, and I started to visualize the solution. And I didn't know what the solution was, but I just visualized all parties finding a way forward, you know, a positive way forward. And I only did that for 5 or 10 minutes, but when I came out the other side, I felt completely different. You know, my mind had stopped worrying and stopped stressing about what if this happens, what if that happens. I was projecting out a positive resolution for everyone involved. And it's quite amazing. You know, if you just make those simple switches and you feel completely different afterwards, you know, and you know, then what happens? You start to get creative. Yeah, because fear is very counterproductive to being creative. But when you go into that space, that deeply relaxed space, and you visualize positive outcomes and solutions, you get very creative and solutions come to you.
You know, I was just going to say the word, that was creativity. That allows you to, you know, to think of different ways of looking at the problem, sometimes just turning it completely on its head and having a different outcome. I can remember resolving a problem once before my son left home years ago. He always used to leave the ironing board out. He wanted to iron, even if he'd ironed his shirts, he had to iron it fresh every day. And it used to drive me crazy. This ironing board was always there in the way, and we used to argue about it continuously. And then one day I did exactly what you said. I just took some time out and sat with that, and then somehow a completely different way of looking at that problem occurred to me. It occurred to me that my son was soon to be moving out. As long as that ironing board was there, my son was at home. And it took all the stress out of it. So, you know, you're absolutely right. It's giving ourselves time is probably the most important thing. And I think for many of us, giving ourselves time isn't always easy just to sit and do nothing. So putting on a hypnotherapy recording is perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it is that thing, you know, and if you can't do that, or you haven't got the 30 minutes to do that, then, you know, make that 5 or 10 minute habit every day of just dropping down into that, you know, still centered space, because, you know, that is so empowering. And when I very first learned self-hypnosis 25 years ago, it became for me, you know, I know you know my story, Sandy. I was, you know, had a very difficult childhood, struggles, and, you know, really difficult, kicked out of school, and failure all my life. But when I suddenly learned self-hypnosis, I realized that I could transform from the inside out. And so I took to it like a duck to water. I loved it. And, you know, I would use those times when I would, if I was driving a minicab, you know, which I used to do in my 20s, and, you know, when I dropped off a client, I'd be using not so much self-hypnosis in that when I was driving, because that can is not the best time to use it, but I'd still go into a very light trance state, and I'd use affirmations when I was driving. So any kind of dead time, like driving or being in the shower, I would use affirmations, and I'd start to visualize things that I wanted to achieve. And, you know, it really, really works. It works on so many levels.
It
and the
does.
More you do
Glenn,
it...
Glenn, I'm going to have to interrupt you there, because we've run out of time, but you're absolutely right. Any dead time we've got is a perfect opportunity. Glenn Harold, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for this amazing work. Certainly, you know, I've used your recordings many, many times to great effect. So thank you for joining us, Glenn.
Thank you, Sandy. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Lose weight now, de-stress your life, sleep well every night are just three of the recordings and books that Glenn's produced. You can find out more about his work and all of his meditation books, MP3s and apps at his website, glennharold.com. And that's Glenn with two N's and Harold with two R's. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today. And I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.